needs. They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed and a cursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, a beast without speech, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These men are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. For they mouth empty, boastful words. And by appealing to the lustful desires of human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to his vomit. A sow that is washed goes back to her wallow in the mud. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your words. And Lord, as we read these words today, they seem very dark and gloomy and full of caution and woe. So Lord, we ask that you would reveal not just the caution here, but also the hope that is there. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through these words, Lord, that you would use me as your instrument to preach your word in power and in truth. Father, might I step aside and you come forward. Father, we give you our attention. And we say, Lord, show us how we can best live according to your word. How we can protect that which is most precious that you've given us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is it that is most precious that God has given us? We were praying, singing this morning, freedom. Freedom. Salvation from the world, from the sin of the world, from the enemy. Freedom. However, that's not the situation that's being addressed in this passage, but in fact the opposite. Those who were free are now slaves of depravity. Slaves again. Those who were free are now again slaves. The they in verse 13 that we're referring to here is from Peter, 2 Peter 2, 1, or chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 that we went through last week. These are the guys who were destructive, who were denying, who are doomed, the wolves in sheep clothing. Who are these? The false prophets, the false teachers, the men, the women who are proclaiming themselves to be the ones who hold the truth and instead spewing forth lies. And we talked about how they are destructive. They are destroying what God has put forth. They are denying. They're denying God's supremacy and authority, and they are doomed. They are doomed to judgment, even if though they may appear right now to be under some sort of blessing, it is not a true blessing. What they have in front of them is an eternity of pain and suffering. They are indeed wolves in sheep's clothing. They are false teachers. Come in to try to separate the sheep. And now we go into this they again. This they. That's these guys. These men, these women, these false teachers, these false prophets. They will be paid back with harm for the harm that they've caused. The harm that they've caused. Elsewhere in Scripture we're told that a false teacher, it is better not to have been born than to be a false teacher. That if I cause somebody else to fall, I'm going to be in some serious trouble as a teacher of God's Word. And here Peter is telling us, they're going to be paid back harm for harm. That's what their wages are, what they're truly earning. These people, they carouse in daylight. Now, carousing is bad enough, but the fact here is that they're flagrant in it. They do it in the daylight. They don't even hide it under darkness. They don't like even try to pretend that they're not doing these things. But they do it in front of all and try to put a shine of, isn't this wonderful? I have this freedom. But they're really not free. They revel in their pleasures while they're feasting with you. Their pleasure. Instead of reveling in the blessings of God, they're reveling in nothing more than their fleshly and emotional and personal sensation and desires. Not that these things are bad or evil in and of themselves, but what the issue is here, that instead of reveling in God, they're reveling in themselves. They're reveling in their pleasure. Their pleasure. Not the blessing that God has given, but they have taken ownership of their own. It's theirs. These are people whose eyes are full of adultery. See, the eyes shine forth the light that's within us. So if the darkness within us is dark, but the light that comes out is what? Well, here we're seeing that the light within these people is adultery. Adultery is not staying with the one to which you are committed. We are all, first and foremost, supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Are we not? Okay? Our Lord is a jealous God. Throughout Scripture, from front to back, He likens idolatry to what sin? Adultery. It is us forsaking the one who we are only supposed to love in that manner for anything and everything else. And these people, their eyes are full of it. They never stop sinning, it's Peter tells us here. Why? Because they're always living the lie. They're always spinning the lie. They are always seeking ever to turn people away from the truth, to destroy that which God has done. They're trying to seduce those who are unstable. Seduction. Trying to take one who is unstable, somebody who has a chink in their armor, there's some weakness in their life, and they're going to exploit that for their own personal gratification. That's seduction. And this is what these false teachers, these false prophets, do and are. This is what makes them up. They are truly experts in greed. They are here said in whole to be an accursed brood. Accursed. Not blessed. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, are you blessed? Yes. But these men, these women, these false prophets, they're not blessed. They are accursed. Accursed. Okay? It's not that they're going through a tough time. It's not that they're being sifted as wheat. It's not that they're being tested as iron sharpens iron. No, what we have here is somebody who is accursed of God. God has spoken a curse against them, and this curse will come to fruition. That's their doom. Their wages are the harm. What they've done will come against them. This is what God is telling us here through Peter about these false teachers. In verse 15, the theys again, these false prophets, these false teachers, this accursed brood, these are ones who have left the straight way. People, they have left the straight way. That means they used to be on it. You can't leave something that you haven't where you haven't been. I don't know where you stand on the whole once saved, always saved, eternal security, Calvinistic thing, I don't care. Because that's not in Scripture. What is in Scripture right here tells us that it is possible for someone who has been on the way to leave it. To have been a teacher, a prophet of the way, and to have left it. To have left that way behind. That's why they're called false prophets and false teachers. But it's not that they were false from beginning to end. At some point in time, they were on the right, on the straight and narrow. Kind of frightening, isn't it? It's a little bit scary. No, I'll take that back. It's a lot scary. Okay? They've wandered after Balaam. You know, remember that story? Maybe you learned it in Sunday school as a kid. Doesn't get preached often enough, that's for sure. I haven't preached it as often as I should have or could have. But Balaam, he was a prophet. And God's people were traveling in the wilderness. And a king came and said, I want to curse God's people. So he went to the prophet and said, curse these people. I don't want them coming. And Balaam said, well, you know, I really can't do that, you know. But he was enticed. Enough money was finally offered. He said, okay, I'll give it a shot. You know, he went and they asked God, and God said, no. Oh, said, fine, I can't do it. And the guy said, well, I'll offer you more money. So he said, okay, I'll do it. And tried again. No, I can't. God keeps saying, no, I'm not going to do that. And again, he tries to do it. Finally, a donkey, as he's going up to the mountain to cast the curse down upon God's people, a donkey, an animal who has no speech, speaks. And Balaam, in his wisdom, proceeds to beat the donkey for telling him not to leave God's path and don't go against God's will. Then an angel of the Lord speaks to him. Tells him, it's that donkey that saved your life. Because if you had proceeded down this path, I would have slain you. We have this passage in God's Word. We see this often, that God will allow one extreme example to come forward to use it to as an encouragement or a warning for us. We have the example of Ananias and Sapphira, who did what wonderful thing? Oh yeah, they lied to the Holy Spirit. What happened to them? Yeah. They just took them away. They died. Here we have the illustration of a false teacher being held back through the Word of God through an unlikely source. God speaking to His prophet, telling him to get back on the straight and narrow, to get back on the way. And this is all the warning that any of us can ever expect if we leave the straight and narrow. None of us here should ever expect to have a donkey speak to us and say, "Hey, fool, you're going the wrong way. You're heading for trouble." We should not expect that. Why? Because God's already told it to us. There it is. There's our warning. That's our sign. Okay, there's plenty of those. Hear my sign? Well, there's our sign. Okay, God told us. We don't want to wander after it. God used the donkey to restrain the prophet's madness. Madness is the word that he uses. He was out of his mind. Crazy. Why was he out of his mind or crazy? Because of his greed. The desires, his own selfish depravity. It wasn't the enemy, it was, if you would, the enemy within. The fallenness of mankind, his depravity. These men, in verse 17, have walked in the way of the Lord. They have wandered off the path. And right now, the messages that they speak, they're dry springs. A dry spring. You know, remember, we don't think that much of a dry spring. It's not that important to us in our society, but in that society, in that day, a spring meant life. You went from spring to spring as you traveled, and if you got to a spring and it was dry, you could die because there was no more water. There was no place else to get it. A dry spring was deadly. And that's what these men are. Dry springs. They're mists without rain. You know, they get this dark mist coming. You think, "Oh yeah, it's going to rain." You know, the last month we haven't had much in the way of rain. You see some clouds going, "Oh yeah, it's going to come." And it goes on by. No rain. Now, as dry as we've been here, that's nothing compared to an arid land of Israel. Here and there, if we get any hope of rain at all, it isn't such. And these men, they were, again, hopes of life-giving water. But they're not. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, is likened to that water, that drink. Jesus says that He's the drink. It's His blood. He says that the Holy Spirit is the well within us that springs up. When He spoke to the woman at the well, "You wouldn't ask me for anything, you'd ask me to give you a drink of water." This is what these men are. False hopes of refreshment. False hope of life-giving water. Instead of being life-giving, they are life-destroying what they teach. And they are indeed destined for blackest darkness. Okay, that is their doom. That is their destiny. That is the wages that they've earned. The "they" in verses 18 and 19. You know, throughout this passage, it's they. And the "they"s that they're speaking of are these false prophets who mouth empty words. They don't even say words. It's referring to how useless the words are. They're just mouthed. You know, is referring just to emphasize how you, not only it's the word is empty, there's nothing in it, there's no power in it, not even the power of vocalization. Again, to symbolize just how useless these words are. The Word of God, it's all powerful. We can stand on it. It's true. We can and should use it to sift everything that any teacher gives. And it needs to fall through, otherwise it's really good. Anything I teach that doesn't go through that sifter, throw it out. These empty words, boastful, empty, boastful words. Yep. Nothing so as impressive as a man who talks about how important he is, isn't it? Yeah. I know, I've done it. What are they doing? They're appealing to the lustful, sinful human nature. They're not somehow coercing me or doing something wrong there, but instead what they're doing is, or bringing some power against me, instead, or to you or me, what they're doing is appealing to that fallen nature inside of me yet. It's still there. That somehow or other I have listening to yet. And they're appealing to that, enticing people who are just escaping. That is, brand new Christians, baby Christians, new believers, people who are new to the way. They don't know anything. Does a new baby know anything other than what they've learned? They haven't had time to learn anything yet. Whether we're talking about a spiritual baby or a physical baby, a baby must have time to grow and be nurtured and protected. I'll tell you what, I am more ticked off at parents who talk about, I'm going to let my child decide whether or not they should go to church or not. You know, it's like, are you kidding me? You don't let a child decide that. You bring the child, you raise them up in the way they should go, and then when they grow old, they'll go the right way. If I let the child do what it wants to do, it's going to do what its sinful, deprived nature wants to do. Because it has no other training. It needs to learn what's right. And these false teachers, they pounce on these brand new babies, these new spiritual babies. They go to them and they try to, and they give them this false teaching that sounds good to their earthly ear, feels good to their earthly spirit, and they don't know enough to try to sift it through God's Word. Or maybe they even question their ability to do so. Because this is the authority, this is the prophet, this is the teacher. They must be right. I must be wrong. This is often the position that a student or a young one is in, is it not? If mommy and daddy do it that way, that must be the way it's supposed to be. If that's what my teacher said, that must be the right thing. How many parents have not heard a child come home, but the teacher said, and say, no, I am sorry, that is not the way we do things here in this house. False teachers. False teachers do that. And they're everywhere. They're enticing those who are in error, who are escaping from their own error, from the error of the world, and from the enemy. They're just escaping from these things. They're just getting free of them. They have just gotten their first taste of freedom. Has anybody here seen it on Facebook or on the internet? You see these wonderful stories of different things where somebody, after years of never having something, all of a sudden get it. You get this kid. Latest one I just saw. This mother had lost her hearing, had never heard her child speak. But then, medical procedure, she was able to hear. And the first time she heard her child's voice, it's just like, ah! Now, could you think how terrible it was to take that away from her just within the hour of her having heard her child's voice? How terribly, terribly devastating that would be. I mean, if I'd never heard my child's voice, if I had always been deaf and never heard it, I might know that there's such a thing out there, but I really don't know what I'm missing, do I? But, if I have heard it, if I have heard that, well, what happens then? To have had it and then lost it is worse. I'm kind of jumped ahead here. Let's go back just a little bit to verse 18 and 19. The they theirs, they are slaves of depravity. You see, these false teachers, they themselves are slaves, and what they're trying to do is to bring everybody else into the same slavery they're in. They don't want anybody else to be free. They want them to be wrapped up in this depravity also. They used to be followers of the way, they're now slaves to whatever. Whatever it is that has overcome them in their lives. Whatever masters us is indeed is that which enslaves us. Now, if Jesus is my master, if the Holy Spirit has mastered me, I am His slave, but I am free because He holds us with that open hand. But if I was His slave, and then I leave the path, and I had known the Lord Jesus, if I had known the way of righteousness, if I had actually turned my back, I am now the they of verse 20 of those who've been led off the path. That could be me or you or anybody. See, it's better for us not to have known than it is for us to have known and then lost it. Not because it's a bad thing to know God, just because to have known the righteousness of God, to have known the presence of the Holy Spirit, to have experienced that, and then to be gone and never have it ever again. What can be more devastating for all of eternity? If I had never known it, it would be one thing. If you had never known the presence of God in your life, that would be one. But once you have come to know it, and then to be led astray and find yourself slave again to your own depravity, well, that makes us just like the dog who returns to its vomit and the sow who returns to its mud hole. See, they're not taken, they're forced, they're fooled and they are enticed. Could be me, it could be you, it could be others around us, particularly the new and the immature believer. Anybody can be led astray, but particularly those who are brand new. So this is a warning to us all. A warning. To be on guard. To be vigilant. Watch out for those false prophets, the false teachers. They might not lead you or others to such a tragic loss. Now, we sang today about being free. And George, he read out of Galatians about how we are meant to be free. We are. Christ went to the cross for our freedom. Let us not take it for granted and think that once I have believed upon Christ, it is never possible for me to have lost that. Because here I tell you people, it's not possible to lose it like you lose your keys. But there are those out there who are seeking to entice you or to teach you the wrong way, who are somehow seeking to turn you away from God. And it is possible. Otherwise, there would be no warning here. It is possible to walk away from God. It is possible to turn away from Him. And to have known Him and then to have lost Him, that is the most tragic thing that we can. And as we are told in the parable, where he talks about the spirit who has been cleaned out, or the thief who has been cleaned out and then comes back with seven of his friends, if nothing is put to protect that house. You know, our minds and hearts are like that. And if we become enslaved again, it becomes even harder to get free the second time. Not that it cannot be overcome, because through Christ, all things can be overcome. All the world can. However, God has given us this warning for a reason, people. So don't be complacent. Don't be overconfident. But be on guard for these false teachers. Stand on the Word of God. And if anybody teaches you or preaches you anything which is not the Word of God, run them off. If it's within your power, or run away if it's not. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You that You intend for us to be free and You want us to be free. So You give us this warning that we might not stumble and fall and lose the blessings that You have for us, to be doomed into darkness. Lord, that's not Your will. That's not Your desire. But Lord, we have our end to do here. Lord, we must not submit ourselves to our own depravity. We must not look to hear that which just tickles our ear. But we must look to Your prophets to speak to us Your truth in power. And Lord, might Your Word indeed encourage us and bless us. That which is holy within us, Your Holy Spirit. And might we not listen to those things which would lead us away from You, that would seek to seduce us from You, our one true love. Lord, might we not turn away from that great command to love You and You first and foremost in all things, Lord. May we do just that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.